November, and next week, just as a reminder, is going to be the big Thanksgiving family dinner. So we're going to have it right here. If you haven't signed up for something, do that. And if you're online and you haven't made the sign up, or let us know you're coming, because we want to make sure that we have enough food for everybody. But it's going to be a good time. We're excited about it. But I thought tonight I would start us out with the thought of being thankful. Being thankful. Do you know you always have something to be thankful for? Always, always, always. But sometimes you have to look for it. And the enemy is going to come up with all of the things you maybe shouldn't be thankful for, or all of the things that could be better, or all of the things that don't measure up. But I want to start out in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. It says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." They had to be far off. And so just think about this. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" So this wasn't like you and I talking, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It was like, "Jesus, you know, Master, have mercy on us." So everybody say 10. There was 10. So it was a pretty loud shout, right? But watch this now. "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that when they went, they were cleansed." That's kind of an interesting thing. There was 10 of them. They were far off. And they shouted to him, and he shouted back. He didn't go touch them. He shouted, "Go to the priest," because that's what lawfully they had to do. And lawfully, I know in other places it was a little different, but lawfully, if he touched them, he would have to be unclean for a certain amount of time. And so he shouted at them, all 10 of them, and they went. But it says, as they went, as they obeyed what God told him, they were healed. Sometimes we're waiting for God to do something, and we haven't done what he's told us to do. Thank you for your enthusiasm. And we wonder why we're not healed, why we're not helped, why we're not... It's because maybe we haven't done what he told us to do. I find that with God, most of the time, it's he does something and we do something, right? Even when we get saved, even our salvation, he gave us the grace, but we have to have the faith, right? There's our part of the equation, and their part of the equation was going, but this next part is really what I want to get to. Verse 15, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan." 10, but only one. 10, but only one. That's only 10%. Only 10%. I'm just wondering that even in the church of God, the house of God, the people of God, is that still the case? Where we have, all of us have been blessed, but maybe only 10% are truly giving thanks and glorifying God for what he's done for them. Lord, help us. You know, I think that we ought to be the most grateful, the most thankful people on the face of this earth. But oftentimes when we're in the midst of going through things and we're just thinking about ourselves and maybe what's happened in our lives, it's easy to be grumpy rather than grateful. And when we're grumpy, I think it's the most prudent time for us to turn and to be grateful. Look at... Verse 17, "So when Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. Let me say that again. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. In other words, if God does something for you, or even if you have a promise from God in the Word of God, then thankfulness is the result of receiving the thing that God has promised you. Right? And so we need to be a thankful people. Thank you. It was raising our children, and even today it's like thanks and giving thanks is not an option. Thank you for that. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. And we ought to find things to be thankful for. The enemy will get you a list of what not to be thankful for or what to be resentful for. But it's up to us to find the list of what to be grateful for. Let me just give you an example. You know, I drive a car, but it's not a new car. And I could go, you know, I really deserve that new Cadillac that I saw. And nothing wrong with that, and that God would not give me that. I'm not saying that, but I could get an attitude toward the car that I have rather than being thankful that I didn't have to walk here today. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's imperative that we begin to look for things to be grateful for, even in the midst of what we're going through. Because I'm telling you that gratefulness is the language of faith, and faith will put you over every time. He couldn't say to the other nine who didn't come back, your faith has made you well, because they weren't there, because they weren't thankful. I believe that God wants to finish works in us, but we need to be thankful. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think that we ought to be thankful everywhere we are. It ought to be the language. And I mean, even to the point, man, those people are thankful people. I mean, they're always thanking you. Let me just give you some areas to begin to work on. Right? All of us, at time or another, go out to a restaurant and have something to eat. Right? Well, when the server brings you something, are you complaining because they didn't get the water right, or the napkin wasn't right, or they weren't there fast enough? Or do you thank them, Eve, for everything that they do for you? We should be thankful. And it's an easy thing to do, and it would bless them. You think, well, yeah, but they're getting paid to serve me. Really? Really? You know, really? Well, if you're going to be a child of God who's glorifying God in everything that you do, they ought to see you as thankful. Right? I've heard stories of waitresses who Sunday is one of their worst days because they have all these church people come in, and she's got this big table with 20 people, right? And they're working their tails off to get this done, and they're grumpy. The people are complaining, and then they leave them a track with, you know, a couple of cents in it, right? And it's like, for us as Christians, we ought to be the most thankful people. I'm going to brag on my wife. She's an amazing person. We were at a Sherry's in Portland one day. We were at a conference, and it was one of those ice storms. And so here were all these people in Sherry's, but Sherry's wasn't expecting us, and it only had a couple of wait people for the whole thing. And the next, I'm looking over, and the next thing I know, Renita has got the coffee pot, and she's going over to people to serve them coffee because the person was overwhelmed. what I'm saying is we ought to look for opportunities to get thankful. How many have ever been mad, angry at people that you're the closest to? And how are you doing it with meditating on that anger? You know, sometimes it lasts a few seconds, sometimes a few minutes, sometimes a few hours, sometimes a few days, sometimes 20 years. Right? Well, life's too short for that. So what I'm saying is we ought to look for an opportunity instead of focusing on what somebody did wrong, be thankful for who they are. Be thankful for what they bring. Start looking at God and ask God, you made this particular person. You know, sometimes they mess up. You know, you and I know that, but I do too. But the reality is I want to be grateful for what their gifts are. I need to become grateful. And the more you look at that from a grateful heart, they become less irritating to you. That they become less your enemy because you're not focused on their flaws. You're grateful for what and who they are, right? So getting up in the morning angry is a sign that you're not being grateful. Are you listening to me? Getting up in the morning with an attitude, it can be changed by you becoming grateful, thankful. Thank you, Lord. 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 And look, it doesn't take a lot of looking to find somebody who's worse off than you are. Right? The person who has a limp is thankful that they have a leg. Right? And the person that has one leg, you know, but is walking around as an amputee, but he's got, you know, the fake leg and everything. He's grateful that he's able to walk. The person with two legs gone are grateful that they have a power chair. The point is that you can always find something to be grateful for. If you want joy in your life, then gratefulness has to be a part of it. Thanksgiving must be a part of it. And we don't need to be thanks. You know, we set aside one day a year, every year for Thanksgiving, and I understand that. But Christians ought to be thankful all the time. But unfortunately, I think if you took a poll of people and watched people, it would be 10% of believers are really thankful, really grateful. They're looking for what they didn't get out of something or how somebody made them mad or whatever it is that they, you know, I mean, you know, as perfect as I am, and you know I'm pretty perfect, right? It's like there are times, and there were times it's like, Lord, I don't, you know, when we lost the building, Lord, I don't want to set up chairs again. I don't want to pull, you know, sound equipment in and out. Lord, I don't want to do any of that, right? Wow. And then I began to think about it for a minute, and I repented. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. First of all, if I'm setting up chairs, I'm setting them up for you. And then you're using me when I'm setting up those chairs to bless somebody else. Right? Lord, I'm grateful for the strength that I have that I'm able to do the things that I can do. Right? I'm grateful, Lord, that you know, there are certain people that are my age, really young, that can't do certain things. But I'm grateful for the strength that I have. Right? And again, I want to be one of the 10% that are grateful. Come on. Instead of the 9% that are grumpy, or the 90% that are grumpy, right? Glory to God. Lord, find, and you might have to practice it. You might have to change some things because your normal thing is to look at, well, that's wrong, and that's wrong. If that's the way you are, then you're going to be grumpy. But if you turn over and say, Lord, thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you for the... I've told this story before, but I think it fits here. Your attitude can change the situation. I heard this story of... this is the end of the Second World War, and they went to an internment camp, and the soldiers were there, and it was just the most morass scene that you could think of. All of those people that were just skeletons, and you know, just and they were all, you know, like whipped dogs. You know what I mean? They just. But, and it was almost like it just stood out that there was one man who was, you know, the same condition, you know, skeleton for bones, you know, way underweight, all of that, hadn't been fed for a long time, all of that, but his face was just radiant. And so the soldiers came and they were going, what is different about you? And he said, when I came into this place, I said to myself, they can have my body, they can do with, you know, all the torture that they want to do with me, but I refuse to give them my soul. I refuse to give them my attitudes. I refuse to give them my hope in God. I refuse to give... Come on. If we are really faith people, people of faith, people who are born-again believers, then we ought to be the most grateful people on the face of the earth. Rather than fretting on who won or who didn't win the election or what's happening over here, or what's happening over there, we ought to be grateful that when it all wraps up, we're going to be with Him. Come on. I mean, really, I'm just passing through here. How did Paul learn to be content in any situation he found himself in? I believe it's because he found gratefulness or thankfulness, because he said, in everything, give thanks. Right? In everything, give thanks. So, in everything means everything. So even when you're mad at your husband, or you're mad at your wife, or you're not very excited about the way the car broke down, or whatever, it's time to find something to be thankful for on purpose. Glory to God. Turn with me to Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just love it when, you know, you got parents or grandparents and they got their little toddlers and they're at a store, or they're, you know, even out here when we have potlucks and you know, you're helping the kids and the parents said, well, Johnny, did you tell them thank you? Did you tell them thank you? That excites me. Why? Because they're training the kids to be thankful. And we must do that. We must train ourselves and then train our kids to be thankful. Why? Why is that? Because I want my kids to be happy. I want my kids to be blessed. I want them to know the joy of the Lord. I want them to enjoy life rather than be miserable in life. Ungrateful people are miserable. Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Woo! Glory to God. So don't get mad when people are shouting in church. It's scriptural. Right? It should be a joyful shout, not a screech or a scream, but a joyful shout unto the Lord. I think church ought to be shouting and jumping, and if God is here, it should be exciting. That's what I'm thinking. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God, and He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That's me. That's you. So serve the Lord with gladness. But why, God? Why don't I get mine? And how come everybody else has got a testimony and I don't? Oh, God, it's not fair. Well, that's probably why. Just that attitude is probably why. You have a testimony every minute of every day. I said, you have a testimony of God's goodness every moment of every day. Why? I'm His sheep. He's my Lord. God loves me. God's for me. God saved me. God redeemed me. God accepted me. I have a testimony. Come on, I'm just talking about it. Begins to get me excited. Woo! God loves me. And just so you know, and don't be jealous, but I'm one of His favorites. Really? No. No, Proverbs chapter 3, it talks about how that if we do the things and put His mercy on our hearts, He causes us to have favor with God and with man. Amen. You're one of His favorites too. I just happen to be one of His favored ones. Favorites. Glory to God. Now look at this. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. And I like it. The Hebrew word is tada. And I like tada. Tada. But it means to shout. It means to praise. It means to come excited. Lord, I'm coming into Your presence with thanksgiving. I'm entering Your gates. Lord, it's even before I get to Your courtroom, even before I get to the throne room. Lord, thank You that I'm here. Thank You that I'm able to come. Thank You that I have Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord, that I'm able to be in your sanctuary. Thank You, Lord, that I'm going to be with You for eternity and I'm not going to spend my life apart from You because I'm now with You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You, thank You. Thank You, Jesus. 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 In what? In everything. Again, I've told this story before, but you're going to hear it again. First got saved, I was in Bible studies, right? We went to Bible, and I went in Bible studies from West Seattle to Yelm to Buckley. I mean, they were all over the place, but I went to all of them. I just, you know, had one on Monday night, had one on Tuesday night, had one on Thursday night, had one Friday. Everywhere we go. Sitting in this one in Buckley, and, there, you know, there's 10 or 12 of us there, and this man's dad was there, a friend of mine's dad was there, and his dad was there to check us out. He thought, what's my son got into? This got to be some sort of cult. You know, that type of thing. I'm going to go check this out. His name was King, by the way. And King came in and he was listening. And so we sang a few songs. And then our, you know, what we did is we gave testimonies after that. Before we got into the Word, we gave testimonies or prayer, you know, whatever. Let's just give testimony. What's God done for you? And this fellow got up and he said, I want to thank God that my car blew up today. Amen. What? And King said, what? You want to thank God your car blew up today? And I'll never forget it. He said, his name was Kevin. Kevin said, yeah, because the same God who got me that car is well able to get me another one. That's right? Yeah. Right? And even though my car blew up, I'm able to come to Bible study tonight. Even though do you hear what I'm saying? It's like we've got to be thankful and train ourselves to be thankful even when it seems like things are the darkest. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we have just finished, and you all know this, but we just finished our house. And the house is only 680 square feet, right? And we didn't have a large house before. It was only like 1,400 square feet. And you'd think, wow, but we are so blessed. We are so happy, and it's really gorgeous. I mean, it's incredible. God has just been really good to us. But we have to start thanking God and being grateful for what we have. Because I love this, that Jesus said to the one that came back with thankfulness, your faith has made you well or whole or complete. You see, when we come back to God with thankfulness, when He's done something, or even when we don't feel Him doing something, His response is going to be positive toward us. So we enter His gates with thanksgiving, with ta-da! You know, glory to God, a shout of praise, a shout of thanksgiving. I'm here. Come on. Wouldn't it be something now? I know we're not as young as we used to be, but wouldn't it be something if when I announced on Sunday morning, you know, it's time to worship, everybody just shouted, woo, glory to God. Why? Because we're coming into His presence, into His gates with thankfulness. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at a few other things here. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and enter His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Yeah. When's the last time you just, on purpose, looked at your life, looked at some of the things that are going on in your life, and on purpose was thankful to God for them? Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my kids. Even the ones that are messing up. Thank you, Lord, for them. Thank you you know, Jesus said to bless those that curse you. Didn't He? What did He say that for? But He said that, right? And so that's our lifestyle, that's who we do. But how and why would you bless somebody that curses you? And why would you be thankful for them? That's the first point, because the Word says, and we're going to be obedient to the Word. But the other thing is, I find that God uses difficult people to deal with my heart. And so I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful, you know, sometimes I've got to work on it. Sometimes I've got to fight it. But I'm thankful, God, that You're not leaving me the way I was, but You're continuing to help me to grow. I'm thankful, God. And so, Lord, when I come into Your presence, rather than coming and dumping all my petitions on You, I'm going to be thankful. I didn't have this in the notes, Josh, so it's different. But go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and look at this, because you all know the verse, but we're going to read it. Glory to God, glory to God. I love His Word. I love His Word. I love that He'll speak to us out of His Word. Amen. Hallelujah. In verse 4 it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoicing is expressing your thankfulness. Right? Rejoice in the Lord. Again I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Nothing, but everything. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. 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 What did you face yesterday? What are you going to face tomorrow? It all encompasses everything, right? So again, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Prayer is talking to God. Supplication is basically specific requests. Right? With prayer and supplication, in other words, let God know what's going on. But watch what He says, because this is important. If we want to be rid of anxiety, we have to go to God. Right? We have to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't go to God and ask Him for something without thanksgiving at the trail end of it. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Why? First of all, how can you thank God when you're asking God for something that you're going through that has the potential to bring you anxiety? Right? Because that's what this verse is about. This verse is about anxiety and your opportunity to either accept it or to let it go by. But he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, talk to God with your specific details, but do it with thanksgiving. That doesn't even make sense. I should be thankful for God when he works out the situation that I'm anxious about. No, you need to be thankful for God that he's hearing you while you're giving him your requests. Listen, if God's got it, I don't have to care for it anymore. If God really is concerned with me, if God really is listening to my prayers and my specific petitions, then I can thank God. And listen to what he says. He says, the result of that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Thanksgiving puts you in a place where the peace of God, that's beyond your ability to even account for, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I love the Amplified, the classic Amplified. It says, the verbiage is something like this, that it will mount a garrison around your heart and mind. The peace of God will mount as a garrison. And so you get the picture of this wall going around a city, and you got the turrets, and you got all those things, but guards, mounts are everywhere around there, so that if anybody comes to try to come into the inner sanctuary, they've got to go through the mounted guards. See, thankfulness puts you in a place where that can be your reality. Oh, glory to God. It's good for us to give thanks. It's good for us to thank. How many have something to be thankful for that God has done for you? Right? Come on. Anybody in the room? Right? Well, when's the last time you spent any time thanking God on purpose? You know, if you won the Powerball lottery, you'd be dancing. Oh, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. But how about, I was able to get up today? How about that I can move my arms today? How about that I can breathe in and out today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I mean, just have your breath taken away from you for a while, and then all of a sudden you can breathe. You go, whoo, glory to God. That's amazing. We can always find something to be thankful for. And if you're having a tough time with that, get a journal and start writing down things that you can be thankful for. Do it on purpose. And so if you're having struggle, you can go back to your thanks book. I think you ought to spend more time in your thanks book than you do your Facebook. I think we'd be better off if we were thanking God rather than complaining to God. In Nehemiah, the 12th chapter, and the story of Nehemiah is that they were, the nation of Israel and Judah were, they were in captivity, and the folks had come in and destroyed everything. All the walls were down and the city was a mess. The temple was down. Well, the same time Ezra was rebuilding the temple, but Nehemiah was in Babylon, and he went to the king, and the king says, why are you down? He was a cupbearer. Why are you down? Well, he said, the walls around Jerusalem are broken down. And long story short, he was commissioned and had permission to go rebuild the walls. And so he done the work, and they did it in a really remarkable short amount of time. The whole story is just fantastic. But in chapter 12, that's toward the end of it, chapter 12 and verse 27, he'd set it up so that there were people around the wall, and that there were praisers and there were singers, and at the completion of this thing, that they were all there. But in verse 27, Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites, because they were the ones who did the sacrifices in all their places, to bring to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing. Both with thanksgiving and singing. I'm telling you, we ought to have a fit when God blesses us. And we ought to give Him the credit for Him blessing us. Right? We ought to be thankful. We ought to be grateful. We ought to put it down as a memorial. Listen, God saved me. I'm so thankful for the wife that He gave me. I'm so thankful for the kids that He blessed me with. I am so grateful and thankful for the grandchildren that I have. I'm so grateful for the church that He's allowed me to preach. I'm so grateful for you that you come out on a cold Wednesday night and hear me preach. I'm so grateful that those at home are listening to me preach. And some of you I never hear from. Some of you don't even like or anything like that. And that's great. But I'm grateful that God has given us the ability to even live stream so that you can hear me tonight. I'm thankful for it. And I could say, well, you know, I could be better. I could have our own church building. We could have better cameras. We could have this and all. Forget all of that stuff. If you stay in that place, you're going to be miserable because you'll never achieve this to the satisfaction that you're at. But if you become grateful with where you are, God will not only heal you, but He'll make you well. I like that. Come on. 10 were there. Not one came back. Jesus said, because of your faith, because of you coming back and glorifying me with thankfulness, I'm going to make you well. I'm going to make you whole. Glory to God. We glorify God in thanksgiving. But thanksgiving should be specific too. And the Bible talks about in the Old Testament, they had actual sacrifices of thanksgiving. And again, we think of sacrifice, we think of, you know, something that's cost us, something that, you know, we had to give up and all of that. That's not really the idea of a sacrifice in the Old Testament. Yeah, the sacrifice cost you something, but a sacrifice was the thing that was necessary in order to be in the presence of God to you know, have your sins forgiven or whatever the issue was. But an offering of thanksgiving was usually an animal or something that you brought, maybe grain, something else that you brought before the Lord, something that you had. But in the New Testament, an offering of thanksgiving is laying our lives down for Him and putting Him first place in our lives and allowing Him to be who He is, right? I want to be a grateful people. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, and thanks for everything, right? Thanks for anything. Come on. Are you ready to practice it? Are you ready to get into it? Are you ready to do it? Go to Psalm 26. We're going to read a few Psalms. Psalm 26. Glory to God. And this is the psalmist, and he said, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. I think our family should get tired, especially those that are non-believers, of us giving God the credit for everything that we have. Well, you got this new house. Well, you know, I just want to tell you, God gave it to us. God, you know, gave us the wisdom, and we had to do our part, sure. But God, He supplied. He's done this. He brought us the right contractors. He did. I want to just thank God every day that I wake up in our new house that God gave that to us, right? And that I'm just using the house, but that can be everything that we have a part of. looking at your spouse, looking at your kids, looking even at the situation that you're in. You may not be exactly where you want to be, but you can thank God that He's with you in the situation that you're in. Right? Come on. Now, sometimes life is hard, but life is harder if we're grumbling instead of grateful. Hallelujah. I'm talking about being thankful, about really being thankful, looking at that person that you are irritated with and find something to be grateful about them. Right? Come on. There's so many things I could go over and so many people. I had this fellow, this is years and years ago. His name was Rich. And Rich was not all there mentally. And he'd come every service after the service, he'd come and he'd spend 15, 20 minutes with me talking and But I became grateful for Rich. Because God allowed me to minister to Rich. God allowed me to love Rich. I'll give you another example. Many of you know Scott Horn. Yeah. Well, and I'm going to tell you the Scott Horn story because it's amazing. I met Scott because his mother came to our church, and her mother called me and said, "I've got to get my son out of my house. Would you come over?" And we didn't live too far from her at the time, Doris. And Doris, he said, "I'll be over." He said, "He's growing drugs in the shed, and I've had it. That's it. I got to get him out." And so I got over there, and Scott came home, and I said, "Scott, your mom wants you out of the house. You're growing this out, it's not acceptable." I'm not growing pot out. It wasn't pot, but it was something else that wasn't supposed to be out there. Anyway, the long story is, I was over there, and I said, "Your mom wants you out, and you're leaving tonight." He said, "What are you going to do, kick me out? Throw me out?" I said, if that's what it takes, yes. I will do that, right? But let's not do that. Let's just get your stuff." And so he spent about a half hour, 45 minutes in his room gathering stuff up. And I mean, cussing me out and everything, just vehemently. I thought, boy, this is fun. But then about 2 months later, 3 months later, Scott lived in Seattle. But he would started coming to church. And he would leave. He lived by the University of Washington. He'd take a bus down to the ferry dock, take a ferry from downtown Seattle over to Bremerton. That's a 55-minute ride. And then get on the little ferry to go to Port Orchard. And then his mom would pick him up, and they'd come to church every Sunday. But Scott had been doing drugs, and his mind was a little bit gone. Every week he'd come up to me after service, and he'd say, "Pastor, I'm riding on the bus, and the tires are talking to me. The tires are talking to me." I said, "Well, Scott, have you got your Bible?" "Yeah, I got my Bible." "You're reading your Bible? Are you quoting your Bible?" Yeah, Pastor, I'm doing that." For a year, this went on. There was a missions trip coming up. He wanted to go. He was not ready to go. I said, "Scott, awesome. Not this year, but you keep going and you'll go." And he went with us to Guatemala, right? But the bottom line is that God, even though he was irritated, I mean, there was some, "Oh, God, no. Not another conversation about this or about things that are just off in la-la land, right? No, Lord, no. But he was one who diligently did what I asked him to do out of the Word. I mean, he was in the Word. He was studying the Word. He was praying. He was praying in the Spirit. He was doing all of those things. And within about 18 months, he started to come back. He was able to go with us to Guatemala, and he was a tremendous blessing in Guatemala. And today he's married, got a great job, and living in California. But I'm grateful for Scott. I'm grateful for the opportunity that God gave me with Scott. Right? That he allowed me, even though it was I'll be honest with you, it was a pain in my butt at times. But to see what God has done. What am I saying? I'm saying we need to begin to brag on what God is doing in our lives and get a grateful attitude about even our circumstances right now. Hallelujah. I've lived more of my life than I have left. Right? But I'm grateful for the adventure that's ahead of me. Right? I plan to be used by God for till I take my last breath, because I look for that opportunity every day. Glory to God. I want to tell of all of His wondrous works. I want to be thankful to Him in everything that He's done for me. You getting anything tonight? Psalm 50. Go to Psalm 50. Let's see what that says. In verse 14, offer to God thanksgiving. Offer to God thanksgiving. It's really interesting. If you read that in the context, God's responding to him, I'm not looking to you for anything. If I was hungry, I wouldn't talk to you about it. If I needed anything, I'm not talking to you about it because I got everything. Right? Verse 12, let's read 12. It says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine in its fullness. I will eat of the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to God the Most High. You can't do anything for God that he really needs you to do, because he could do it himself. It's all available to him. So the highest form of offering that you can give him is one of being grateful for what he's done for you. Acknowledging it. Walking in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll take this up later, but it's time to close. I didn't get halfway through tonight. But there's more to come. Amen. Anybody in here thankful? What do you have to be thankful for? Come on, tell me. What's that? Yeah, lots of things. Let's be specific. What do you have to be thankful for? Just say something out loud. Come on. What's that? Joan, I like that. I'm thankful for Joan too. Thank you. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Thankful. That's awesome. Come on. Absolutely. Absolutely. And keep telling yourself that. Keep telling God that. Keep telling everybody that you know. Begin to make that a habit of being thankful. Make sense? Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. Come on, let's be grateful. Amen. Let's pray. We got to close. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for speaking to us. We thank you for transforming us. We thank you for the ability to even utter your name. We're grateful for you tonight, Lord. We're grateful to you tonight. Lord, thank you. And we acknowledge that everything that we have is because you gave it to us, Lord. And we just want to give you all our praise and all our offering. And just say thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. God bless you if you're watching. Be thankful in Jesus' name. Amen.